Hello, I am Pastor Nathan Strobel, one of the four here at St. Paul's in Muskego, and a privilege for me to be with you today as part of worship as your message bringer, along with Jeffrey Bonock, who will be presiding over worship in our online worship this weekend. As you can see behind me, we are preparing for in-person Lord's Supper here at St. Paul's this weekend. Will not, of course, be a part of the online experience. We thought we'd share that with you and then highlight for you that in the off weekends of in-person Lord's Supper, we are still offering the communion by registration in small groups of 10. So watch for that coming out from Pastor Pete in his emails. We are still in the Pentecost season under the theme of Pentecost potential, and today we'll talk a little bit about restoration between us and God and the people around us in our lives, but we'll save that for the welcome to worship itself in just a few moments. But just highlighting a couple things for you, tonight at 6:30, check out Awaken Alive, with a Bible study being offered, facilitated by Mike Wessendorf, but bringing in Pastor Kent Reeder to talk to 18 to 25-year-olds about permission to take our artistic gifts and talents, especially, to make use of them in ministry in the church. And what does that look like? So check out awakenalive.org. Also, I am in charge and in the privilege of teaching the Following the Promise class, and I have another one starting up mid-summer here. If you are interested in taking Following the Promise and having a review of what God the Creator did for us, what God the Savior did for us and His Son, what the God the Spirit continues to do for us through the Word, then feel free to check that out at stpaulsmuskego.org or email me, nstrobel@stpmuskego.org. And I can sign you up either in person, hopefully, we'll see how that goes, what God's plan is, but for sure online to the Zoom platform, free to you, and just bring you into my dining room and we'll teach you about Jesus. Everything you'll need for worship today will be on the screens as far as responsive worship with Pastor Bonock and with our small group of singers. We have a very special psalm coming your way, the singing of Psalm 130 that I'm looking forward to in my journey through the weekend. So everything for you on the screens, God's blessings on your worship today. Welcome to St. Paul's. Welcome to our place of worship.
Welcome. Welcome to this worship space. Welcome to the worship space of the family of believers at St. Paul's in Muskego, Wisconsin, as we are broadcasting beyond our community. I am Pastor Nathan Strobel, privileged to be your message bringer today. As we continue our sermon series in the season of Pentecost under the theme Pentecost Potential, looking at the Holy Spirit giving us His God's people power to do ministry for God, to share the gospel of Jesus Christ in a powerful, potent way. Pentecost potential. And today we look at restoration. You know, when God's people normally gather, we really highlight appropriately that the fact that Jesus restored our relationship with God in heaven by shedding His blood for the sins of the world. Restoration. Awesome. Excellent. Today we broaden that a bit more and we talk about restoration in our own lives, between other people in our lives, in our world, by how we take God's love for us in Jesus that restored this relationship and share it with the world around us, the people in our lives. So Pentecost potential, restoration. Let us begin our worship today with the words of hymn 339 in your hymnals at home, if you have those for the notes. But today, your mercy calls us.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Dear friends, let us approach God with a true heart and confess our sins, asking Him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness.
Lord of life, I confess that I am by nature dead in sin. For faithless worrying and selfish pride, for sins of habit and sins of choice, for the evil I have done and the good I have failed to do, you should cast me away from your presence forever. O Lord, I am sorry for my sins. Forgive me for Jesus' sake.
Christ has died, Christ has risen, and Christ will come again. God made us alive in Christ even when we were dead in our sins. Hear the word of Christ through his called servants. I forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
In peace, let us pray to the Lord. For the well-being of all people everywhere, that they may receive from you all they need to sustain body and life, hear our prayer, O Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the spread of your life-giving gospel throughout the world, that all who are lost in sin may be brought to faith in you, hear our prayer, O Christ.
Christ, have mercy.
For patience and perseverance in this life, that we may not lose the hope of heaven as we await your return, hear our prayer, O Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
Lord of life, live in us that we may live for you.
Amen. Amen.
Be with you.
And also with you.
And let us pray. Lord God, you know that we are surrounded by many dangers and that we often stumble and fall.
Strengthen us in body and mind and bring us safely through all temptations.
We pray in the name of Jesus Christ, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now
and forever.
Amen. As we turn to the Word of God, our first lesson for today comes to us from Paul's letter to the Romans, Romans chapter 16, beginning at verse 17. Many in this world believe that restoration within the church comes through a false outward unity, but true restoration only comes through the power of the gospel. Romans chapter 16, beginning at verse 17. I urge you, brothers and sisters, to watch out for those who cause divisions and put obstacles in your way that are contrary to the teaching you have learned. Keep away from them. For such people are not serving our Lord Christ, but their own appetites. By smooth talk and flattery, they deceive the minds of naive people. Everyone has heard about your obedience, so I rejoice because of you. But I want you to be wise about what is good and innocent about what is evil. The God of peace will soon crush Satan under your feet. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. This is the word of our God. Second lesson is our gospel lesson. It comes to us from the Gospel of Matthew, Matthew chapter 4, beginning at verse 1. In this section, we see Jesus go out to meet Satan, and we realize that restoration comes at a price, pain and sacrifice. Matthew chapter 4. Then Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. After fasting 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. The tempter came to him and said, "If you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become bread." Jesus answered, "It is written, man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God." Then the devil took him to the holy city and had him stand on the highest point of the temple. "If you are the Son of God," he said, "throw yourself down, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you, and they will lift you up in their hands, so that you will not strike your foot against a stone." Jesus answered him, "It is also written, do not put the Lord your God to the test." Again, the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their splendor. "All this I will give you," he said, "if you will bow down and worship me." Jesus said to him, "Away from me, Satan, for it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only." Then the devil left him, and angels came and attended him. This is the gospel of our Lord. We continue now by singing the words of hymn 396, "In Adam We Have All Been One."
God's grace, mercy, and peace are yours. From God our Father and through his Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. We continue our study in the book of Genesis. Today, chapter 3, I will read verses 1 through 15. Our focus primarily on verse 15. Now the serpent was more crafty than any of the wild animals the Lord God had made. He said to the woman, "Did God really say you must not eat from any tree in the garden?" The woman said to the serpent, "We may eat fruit from the trees in the garden, but God did say you must not eat fruit from the tree that is in the middle of the garden, and you must not touch it or you will die." "You will not surely die," the serpent said to the woman, "for God knows that when you eat of it, your eyes will be opened and you will be like God, knowing good and evil." When the woman saw that the fruit of the tree was good for food and pleasing to the eye and also desirable for gaining wisdom, she took some and ate it. She also gave some to her husband who was with her, and he ate. Then the eyes of both of them were opened, and they realized they were naked. So they sewed fig leaves together and made coverings for themselves. Then the man and his wife heard the sound of the Lord God as he was walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and they hid from the Lord God among the trees of the garden. But the Lord God called to the man, "Where are you?" He answered, "I heard you in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, so I hid." And he said, "Who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten from the tree that I commanded you not to eat from?" The man said, "The woman you put here with me, she gave me some fruit from the tree, and I ate it." Then the Lord God said to the woman, "What is this you have done?" The woman said, "The serpent deceived me, and I ate." So the Lord God said to the serpent, "Because you have done this, cursed are you above all the livestock and all the wild animals. You will crawl on your belly, and you will eat dust all the days of your life. And I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your offspring and hers. He will crush your head, and you will strike his heel." These are the words of our God. Dear friends in Christ Jesus, every once in a while, a story comes along that gives us reason to pause and to be inspired. John Croyle and his story did it for me on Father's Day. John Croyle played for Coach Bear Bryant and the University of Alabama. And he was on the national championship team for Bama in 1973. But John Croyle turned his back on a promising NFL career. And in 1974, he and his wife, Teresa, started Big Oak Ranch for Boys, bringing healing and restoration now for 46 years, healing and restoration to broken lives. Big Oak Ranch for Girls came in 1988. And right now, John Croyle has 2,000-plus former orphans who refer to him as Dad, a father figure for them. John's inspiration came when he was 19 years old. He was a camp counselor in Mississippi, and he met a young boy from New Orleans whose mom was a prostitute. And this young boy was her banker and timekeeper. John talked to this young man about Jesus and learned later on that this young man had become a Christian, and the inspiration for his life was born. Coach Bryant even helped him out, helped him get started. A woman once called John and said, "Are you that man that gives kids a home? Well, I got two of them. You want them?" At the truck stop, John met an 11-year-old boy and his 10-year-old sister. Their eyes spoke what John would come to know. They had actually been trafficked by their own mother. John said to those two kids what he says to all of his kids: "If you want to come and live with us, you are welcome to. But there are four things you need to know. Number one, I love you. Number two, I will never lie to you. Number three, I will stick with you till you are grown. And number four, there are boundaries. Don't cross them." And so the journey begins. John Croyle learned from God the truth he lives every day. Restoration begins with the unexpected, a promise, and the will to follow it through. Yes, every once in a while, a story comes along that causes us to pause and to be inspired. It happened the first time in the Garden of Eden. A promise came out of nowhere and knocked the socks off of Adam and Eve. Now, I know they didn't have socks, but you get the point. But it was actually the darkness that came first out of nowhere. Darkness you could feel on that sunny day, something they had never known before. The serpent had promised enlightenment, improvement. You will not surely die. You will be like God, knowing good and evil. What came, though, was darkness that Adam and Eve could feel. Darkness they could not shake because they knew it was deserved. Have you ever known such darkness? My mom said one time, "You can go over to the neighbors and play, but don't get into the paint they're using to paint their backyard fence." Well, when the dinner bell rang, my sister and I were busted. I believe they were using oil-based paint, which in 1971, I'm not sure latex paint even existed, and scrub as we could at the backyard faucet. We could not get the paint off of our hands, and we had made beautiful gloves of white paint. But Mom was closing in, and what we knew was darkness. Blessed are those who hear the word of Mom and obey it. Well, something like that. You and I have reviewed before, haven't we, that true love is a decision? How could John Croyle tell two kids he had never met before, "I love you, I will never lie to you, I'll stick with you till you're grown"? That kind of love has nothing to do with cuteness of a newborn or with affection learned over weeks of dating. "What you've done to warm my heart." No, that kind of love is a decision. And the world first felt it in the night of its sin. You know, God could have come thundering into that garden. He had every right. Instead, he came walking in the garden in the cool of the day. He could have come with sharpness of tongue. "Adam, where are you?" But instead, he came with an invitation to confess. "Who told you that you were naked?" To be transparent, to trust in God's love for them. You see, God had decided beforehand, before the creation of the world even, that he would come on that day with true love and a plan to restore his relationship with mankind. From Adam's perspective, the promise came out of nowhere. But you and I know it came from the heart of God. "I will put enmity," God said, "between you, Satan, and the woman, between your offspring, those who listen to you, and hers, those who believe and listen to me. One of her offspring, he will crush your head, Satan, and you will strike his heel." God promised that an offspring of the woman would step into the breach between God and mankind and would fix that break, heal it, restore it through something called the forgiveness of sins. What is sin? Well, at its heart, sin is the belief that God is not enough. More specifically, that God and his will are not enough. We must have more. We must have different. We want what we want. I want what I want. But even deeper is the belief that God's will for us is not truly based on love. What did Satan say? "You will not surely die. For God knows that when you eat of it, you will be like him, knowing good and evil." God is withholding blessing from you. He cannot be trusted. God doesn't truly love you. John Croyle believes that his four statements to his kids are the keys of parenting. "I love you. I will never lie to you. I will stick with you till you are grown. And there are boundaries. Don't cross them." It is hard to disagree with John Croyle's wisdom. In fact, I would go so far as to say that if this is not our goal in parenting, then don't even have children. In fact, I would go farther that if this is not our goal in parenting, then don't even get married. For in a very real sense, aren't those four statements the key concepts of any relationship? I love you. I'll never lie to you. I will stick with you to the end. And there are boundaries. Don't cross them. God led with those basic thoughts in the perfection of his creation. And he followed up with them after the fall into sin. They are in his promise, and they are enough. Come and see. Yes, every once in a while, a story comes along that causes us to pause and to be inspired. Such was the case in the unfolding of God's promise. You know, it is one thing to make a promise. It is quite another to have the will to see it through. God promised to send an offspring of the woman who would repair the breach, who would restore the relationship, restore what was broken, and that is an amazing story indeed. Next week, Pastor Bonach will be preaching on Cain and Abel, and let me tell you, you will not want to miss that one. I don't want to steal any of his thunder, but suffice it to say that Adam and Eve figured it out pretty quickly, that God's plan of an offspring to reverse sin's curse was not going to come through one of their children born in the normal way. Their children were as mired in sin as they were, and there was no hope in their children the way things were. A saving offspring would have to involve God's intervention somehow. And our God had the will to see it through. John Croyle has some more godly wisdom pertinent to our discussion today. When he speaks about setting the right example for kids. I did not put the words on the screen, just ponder them. He says this: you've got to do what's right. Example outlives advice. Children listen with their eyes. They don't really listen with their ears. We see that in our God. God made a promise, and from heaven itself came its fulfillment as God did what he said he would do. The angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son. You are to call him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. His kingdom will never end." "How will this be?" Mary asked the angel, "since I am a virgin." The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come on you. The power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God." The Son of God was born a man, with a body and soul to pay sin's debt, but with the heart of God to see it through to the end, with the love of God. "Father, if there is some other way for us to save them, take this cup from me. Yet not my will, but yours be done. Get up, here comes my betrayer." You know the scene. One time, John Croyle made a gutsy statement to that boy and girl whom we met with him at the truck stop, 11 and 10 years old. They revealed to him some of the things that they had experienced before they came to live at the ranch. Without blinking an eye, John looked at the two of them and he said, "Remember the four things that I told you when we first met? Well, I'm going to add a fifth. And he said to them, "No one will ever hurt you like that again." Pledging to step into the gap between them and evil. Where did John Croyle learn that kind of love? Well, last week at the bridge service, we sang this song that says it well by a band called Crowder. You came for criminals and every Pharisee. You came for hypocrites, even one like me. You carried sin and shame, the guilt of every man, the weight of all I've done nailed into your hands. Oh, your love bled for me. Oh, your blood in crimson streams. Oh, your death is hell's defeat. A cross meant to kill is my victory. A cross meant to kill is my victory. My friends, a special kind of offspring is our Jesus. A special kind of love that sees it through, come what may. From heaven, God sent his Son with a promise. I love you. I will never lie to you. I'll stick with you to the end. There are boundaries. Don't cross them. But I will always forgive. A promise with a destination and the will to see it through. Pentecost potential. Restoration. God sent Jesus to model it for us, to inspire it in us. My friends, God's kind of love restores relationships and heals lives. Just ask 2,000 plus orphans who know the unexpected love of God through the unexpected love of one of God's men. I love you. I will never lie to you. I'll stick with you to the end. Amen. And now may the peace of God, which is beyond all understanding, guard our hearts and our minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen. Let us now together as a family of God speak together, confess together the words of the Nicene Creed. A creed spoken from the ancient church through to this day, believers around the globe, corporate confession of our faith in our God who has restored us to him and who has restored himself to all of us as we love the way he loves. The words of the Nicene Creed. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father. God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven, was incarnate of the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and became fully human. For our sake he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day he rose again in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who in unity with the Father and the Son is worshipped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
Our Savior Jesus once encouraged us to store up treasures in heaven, where moth and rust cannot destroy and where thieves cannot break in and steal. He, of course, is talking about this precious treasure of souls that happens through the work of the church and the ministry that goes on in this world. And we just like to take a moment to thank you once again for your gracious generosity in supporting the work and the ministry of the congregation. If you have not and are interested in knowing how to support this ministry, we encourage you to check out the website, www.stpaulmuskego.org/give. We join now in the prayer of the church. Holy Spirit, we praise you for pouring out spiritual understanding on Jesus' disciples at Pentecost. You came to them when they were confused and in doubt and taught them what Jesus meant when he told them that he would die and rise again. You came to them when they were timid and afraid, and you moved them to speak boldly about the great things God had done to save the world from sin. Dear Holy Spirit, we too have felt uncertain and hesitant. Give us the courageous conviction of faith to speak to others about Jesus as you have enabled the disciples to do at Pentecost. Let us experience the joy of leading others to discover the way to heaven through faith in Jesus Christ and to experience that incredible restoration that Christ allows in us. Forgive us, Holy Spirit, for the times when we have failed to speak of Jesus' love to others because we were afraid. Forgive us for not trusting in your power and for not relying on your word of truth. Help us to remember your promises that when we share the Savior with others, you will be with us and you will give us the words to say. Jesus, we pray all these things in your precious name. And in your name we join to pray the prayer you taught us. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. We close today by singing a song called I Will Wait for You, a song written by Keith Getty. It's based on Psalm 130, which is the psalm for today.
So
Almighty God, we thank you for teaching us the things you want us to believe and do. Help us by your Holy Spirit to keep your word in pure hearts, that we may be strengthened in faith, guided in holiness, and comforted in life and in death. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord look upon you with his favor and give you his peace. Amen.